So Paul and Jesus became very, very good friends. And friendship is probably, as I mentioned earlier, a very important thing that we have in life. Rebecca, I'm going to share a little story. Judy is a cancer survivor. And a couple of years ago, when the first time that her cancer showed up, she was able to take treatments here locally, and they beat the cancer, and that was great. But then a couple of years later, it came back. And this time, the doctor said, Judy, we can get rid of the cancer again, but the kind of cancer you have, which is a large B-cell lymphoma, is most likely going to come back every year or two. He said, but I think you're a candidate for a stem cell transplant. And I said, wow, that's good. And I said, well, where will they get the stem cells? Well, no, we'll use her own stem cells. That's how far medical technology has got. They harvest her own cells, froze them, give her all the treatments, get rid of the cancer again, and then put the stem cells back in. And it's been 2 years. It'll be two years in July. So, but all through that time, she had a friend by the name of Jesus that helped her walk through, all the way through. Because it was really rough at times. A couple of times there during the treatment process too, I thought we had lost her. But God had his hand on her, and he used medical technology to help her. But she had to do the hard part. through it all. So friendship is so important. And when you develop a relationship with God who created you, and God who wants to be your best friend, even though he's not here with us in the physical realm, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. So the Spirit of the living God is with us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And we know that because once we recognize that the Holy Spirit is always with us, sometimes we confuse it with our conscience, but God's Spirit is always with you. And you develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit. It'll give you the wisdom, the strength, not only for yourself, but to help other people. That's why I think the way it is with our friend Jesus, he is always there to help us. Amid the chaos and the confusion of life, I think we see him standing there waiting for us just to notice him, because he'll never push himself on us. But you can have a relationship with him, and he wants to have a relationship with you. All the darkness in this world, the wickedness, it'll overcome us sometimes. In fact, it becomes so overwhelming, even preachers get in challenges of stuff like that. Even though we carry the good news and we put on all of that stuff that Paul talked about the armor. This whole world is rough, but we're in basic training until he comes for us, until we go home to be with him. So while we're here being trained, and Jesus said, in this world you'll have trials and tribulation, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So we just keep on keeping on. Because it said in that little book of Jude, we're going to return with him because we're all saints. He says the saints of God will return with him to set up his kingdom here on earth when he returns. So take heart. It's going to be a wonderful time as God's going to use all your gifts and graces to set up his kingdom. But it's not easy being in training, no matter if it's physical exercise or any other kind of self-discipline that you do. It's not easy. But growing stronger in the Lord, even more resolve. The stronger you get living as a friend of Jesus, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians helped us to see how it's done. In that letter, it begins with a note in chapter 1. Verse 3, it says, praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing of Christ. You see, if spiritual things don't mean much to you, then this verse in Ephesians won't have much of an impact. But, you know, I love the buts and the ifs. But if you believe spiritual things are real, then it's incredible to know that the spiritual blessing is available to us, to all of us. And not because of our stature or our education or affluence or the church denomination that you might attend, but because of Jesus, your friend. You see, the declaration, every spiritual blessing is yours. And that is true wealth. You can't get wealth any better than having a spiritual relationship with the Creator. Worldly wealth, though, Paul talked about the riches of his grace and the glorious inheritance that he received. His rich mercy, his boundless riches of Christ, his glorious riches. And out of his riches he bestowed every spiritual blessing on all of us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he goes on to describe it like this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us as adoption to the sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Wow! If it were not for Jesus, we would have no opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of God. You'd be forever trapped in the kingdom of darkness. Thanks be to God that Jesus came to this earth. Yet before you were ever born, God knew you. That's how special you are. He wanted to adopt you to make you his son or daughter. And it was his pleasure to do it. And then the passage continues in verse 7 and 8 in Ephesians. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. You see, we find wealth well beyond anything that we could ever buy with money. We begin to embrace forgiveness and recognize its cost. And there is only one way to be redeemed from that doom of state, and that's through the blood of Christ. The blood that streaked down his face from the crown of thorns. The blood that dripped from his back from being whipped. His hands, his feet, the blood that flowed from his pierced side. So when we talk to people about Jesus, we don't want to make them religious. We want to help them change their habits, to know that we are trying to introduce them to our friend and my friend who bled and died for them. That's the gospel. Praying for their sins and asking them to accept Christ into their life, that they can become a special friend with the one who created you and now blesses us with every spiritual blessing that we can imagine from heavenly places. Jesus makes life so much better and so much richer. And he's with you all the time. You can talk to him wherever you are. You can listen to him. And if you don't want to talk out loud, your spirit will connect with his spirit. The communication lines are open. It's a wonderful thing. But it's like any other friendship, you've got to develop it. One of my favorite aspects of Ephesians chapter 1 is how it speaks of God's grace being lavished upon us. A gentleman by the name of Eugene Patterson said this, God doesn't scrimp. You know how we like to scrimp and save and be very frugal in what we do? God doesn't do it that way. He just lets the abundance of his grace flow out to all of us. So if that's the case, why wouldn't we want to introduce people to our friend Jesus, who will lavishly put grace upon them and redeem them with his own blood? Now the Apostle Paul also in verse 9 and 10, telling the church at Ephesus, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, and to bring unity to all things in heaven and under the earth. Now all of that leads us to the fact that the time as we know it will come to an end. I think we're very close to the end of the age of grace, and at the end of the age of grace is when Jesus is going to return. I think it's very, very close that we could be the generation the Bible talked about. I don't know that. I don't set dates, I don't know, but Jesus said he was coming back, and I believe him, and I'm looking for him all the time. It's a certain point in the future, and history has written the last chapter. You see, God created time. And He is beyond time and above time. In the same way, our spirits are not subject to time. They are eternal. We're all going to heaven. Now, we determine before we get there where we want to be when we get to heaven. We want to be over here with the sheep or with the goats. It's your choice. So if you accept Christ into your life, you got the ticket. I love that little song, Jesus is your ticket to heaven. Call on Him now for your reservation. But on the other hand, our bodies have a countdown clock. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but we're in a countdown situation when we don't never know when our expiration date's going to be. Because I looked all over. I never found one on me, an expiration date. You know how you check, you don't want to eat anything, it's out of date. Well, we're on a countdown clock. But the Lord has an answer for that too. Because when He comes to resurrect His people, He will bring all unity to all things in heaven and earth with Christ. He knows how to bring the dead back to life and give them glorified bodies. And He will bring everything physical and spiritual, the earth, the heavens, and time and eternity together under His rule and reign. Jesus will be supreme over everything in heaven and earth. So you might want to be His friend. Why would you choose Him as an adversary? You would. You want to choose Him as your friend. And I'll tell you the reason that most people reject Christ. They're determined to be in charge of their own life and do as they please. And friendship with Christ involves His lordship. And if you're not willing for Jesus to be Lord of your life, and I don't know why you wouldn't want that, to have Him as Lord of your life, and you prefer to be your own chief authority, you can make that choice. He loves you enough to give you that freedom. That's why I said He'll never push Himself upon you. He's given us the gift of free will. He wants us to love Him, and we are not forced to love Him as some kind of ritual. He loves us. But, as I like the buts in the ends, the counsel of Scripture is to make peace with Him because, ultimately, He will be supreme over everything. And I think it's better to be friends with the one who's in charge. Amen? There's a military chaplain by the name of Merlin Crothers. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It's C-A-R-O-T-H-E-R-S. He was a military chaplain, good chaplain in the Army. And he tells the story about how a soldier came to him who was facing a dishonorable discharge and a prison sentence for using and dealing drugs while he was in the military. And he said to the chaplain, he said, "Chaplain, I made a mess of my life and I think it's too late to change." And the chaplain looked at him, and with his eyes being dark and desperate, the chaplain says, "Well, wait a minute. What about God? He's got the power to change you." With a shrug of his shoulders, the soldier says, "Well, why should He? I never done anything for Him. Why would He want to do something for me?" The chaplain says, "Because He loves you. He sent Jesus Christ to take the punishment for everything that He's ever done, and He can heal you." Well, after a little bit more of a discussion, the soldier agreed to try Jesus. I used to sell a product in our thing, was try it, you'll like it, and if you don't like it, don't pay for it. It's the same thing with Jesus. If you are flat on your back and you've hit bottom and you got nowhere to look but up, try Jesus. He'll take you at any time, no matter what. No matter what you've done, no matter where you are, He will accept you right there and now. So when the chaplain finished praying, there was something new and bright in the soldier's eyes. He said, "It's very strange, but for some reason I really do believe that God has taken everything bad that has ever happened to me and is working it all out for good." That scripture in Romans 8:28, says that everything works together for good. It's hard to understand, but as you look back in your life and you see some things that you thought were terrible, and you look and see how it all came out, somehow or another, it all worked together for good. And the soldier then began crying. And he himself prayed and looked up to heaven and declared, I don't need drugs anymore. Jesus, come and live in me. And when I finally got serious about accepting the Lord in my life, as I was the same way, and I basically said, Lord, if you're everything that they say that you are, then I want to be part of your kingdom. And I accepted him in my life for real that time. Like many people, sometimes we play, let's make a deal with God. God, if you get me out of this mess, I'll serve you forever. And sometimes that don't work. But if you're really sincere, he'll help you walk that walk. July the 21st, 1986, in the middle of my swimming pool, 6 o'clock in the morning. And I finally surrendered. And it's been not one day at a time, because I'm a recovered alcoholic, because one day at a time I said, Lord, we can do this, but one day at a time is more than I can handle. If we get it down to 1 second at a time, I think I can do this. Little by little by little. And here we are. So when we insist on being the commander of our own life, sooner or later, we will say, you know, I made a mess of my life, and it's too late to change. No. Our friend says, oh, no, not. No, I can redeem you by my blood and lavish you with my grace. I can give you wealth beyond anything you could possibly own on earth. My spirit in your heart and eternity is with me. And then verse 11, Paul tells us, in him we were also chosen, being predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's why when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we talk about if it's your will. Well, it is his will. And his will is for you to develop that relationship with him through reading of the scripture, fellowship with one another, encouraging one another, in this thing we call faith. As I mentioned, Romans 8:28 said, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his will and purpose. Now, I've had moments in my life when I say, God, I don't see any way there's any good in this as we go through life. And his answer always comes back to me and says, that's why I'm the creator and you're not. Hush and keep on moving. Be still and know that I am God and I can work things out. I always like that psalm in Psalm 46 says that be still and know that I'm God. But in the meantime, we can praise God for the blessings with every spiritual blessing through our generous friend Jesus. He has given us an abundant and glorious peace. And he continues to work out all things for our good. His riches are beyond reckoning, and we are wealthy in him. Not necessarily monetary wealth, but wealth in the physical sense. More importantly, we have a place in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. If it was not true, I would tell you. Because in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I like that. There's one translation that says, in many resting places. And I kind of like that. So there's a place already prepared for us when we leave this earthly realm. What a friend we have in Jesus. So next week, we're going to look at Jesus as your trustworthy friend. Can you trust him? Yeah. No one would ever not want to trust the creator of the universe. So next week we'll look about that as Jesus as your trustworthy friend.